Shalom, everybody.
Shalom.
Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
All right, shalom to everybody here, S4C family. I love you guys, everybody at on our YouTube, worldwide family. We just want to say praise the Lord. Thank you for being here. We have a great message today, but as you can see, I have a cute introduction person. Okay. I was going to introduce her husband because her husband's going to sing a song. And then after he sings his song, then I'm going to come back. And okay, now I messed up here, but it's Dominic, right?
Dominic.
Okay. See, Dominic. And this is Sean. So have you heard your husband sing before? Quite often?
Only outside the shower.
Outside the shower? You heard this song before?
Yes.
Yes? Beautiful?
It's good.
Okay. All right. So we're going to let let Dominic sing, and we're going to let Sean go back. You want to pray for him, or do you think he'll be okay?
He'll be good.
You okay? Okay.
All right.
All right. I can say it? Okay, I'm going to set this right here.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to say aloha. Fellow farmers all across the nation.
Amen.
You know, farming is a beautiful thing. I think one of our favorite things as farmers is planting a seed, watching God make it all grow, because only God can make things grow. And watching it grow, because we know that a harvest is coming. And God is a provider of our bountiful harvest. But sometimes along the way, we may come across a storm. You know, our farmers in the Midwest have got wiped out. We in Hawaii, we get wiped out by storms, by birds, by wild animals. But there's two greatest things that I believe are the most important. One, the first greatest is the faith of a believer. To put all our trust in the Lord, that He'll continue to provide. And then we got the faith of a farmer, the guy who goes out and plants a seed in the field. That takes faith, my friend, because that's when we can rely on the Lord to watch it all grow. And so when we come across those storms of life, this is where our faith kicks in, my friends. So this song speaks about that faith. A song called Rise Again.
Sunny day, such a beautiful day to farm. Just me and John Deere, my harrow and plow. But I'm not alone. I got Jesus looking down. I feel good, 'cause got another field in the ground. But the storm may come and wipe out all my fears, to knock me down, yeah, like a thief who comes to steal. But I'll rise again and face the morning sun. I'll press on until the harvest comes. I'll keep pressing on till the harvest comes. My God knows that I walk by faith when I sow my seeds in the ground, to watch them pop in rows. Down the road, I'm gonna feast on a mountain high, and like on eagle's wings, I'll mount up and fly. Comes to steal, but I'll
a storm. But when you face those storms, this is what you do. When you're down in the valley and the road seems uphill, just keep on keeping on to the end. You gotta see what can't be seen. Hold on to your dreams. Have faith, just believe, and rise again. Rise again, 'cause your storm will come to wipe out all your fears. It'll knock you down, yeah, like a thief that comes to steal. Just rise again, woo! And face the morning sun.
Now, that's a beautiful song.
Amen. You got a board today, Pastor?
No board today, just a whole lot of talking.
Well, talk on.
Hallelujah.
Man, that was awesome.
You we ready, Pastor Ben?
You ready, dude.
Okay, I thought you need to plug some things
no,
in.
You do
good?
What you do, man. Yeah.
Okay, I want to give you guys the title of this message today. And it's Victory Over Addiction. And I want to tell you, because I was up this morning, I didn't have a message all day yesterday because we were out, the house full. We was out eating. I was like, boy, I should have been at home doing my message. And I was like, no, just, the food was good. But I woke up this morning really early and I went down and I prayed. And the Lord started giving me a message, like right away, like this is what to talk about. And it is about what the song was about. It's about pressing on until the harvest, because I know that when the rapture doesn't happen, when people say the rapture is going to happen, if you're born again and you love Jesus, you can survive that storm easy. That's not even a problem.
Right.
But if you're in Christ because you were waiting on the rapture, then you're going to have a really tough storm. And if the only reason you stopped sinning was because of the rapture, you're going to have a really tough time. So the Lord was like, you know, people need to press on and they need to keep understanding that because it didn't happen when you thought it was going to happen, that it's not like it's not going to happen, and you still need to be ready. Amen. But God understands the problem, okay? And this is the problem, as the Lord was showing me. I used to work in a federal halfway house, right? All federal prisoners coming out, and I had a lady there that worked with me. And she would be really hard on all of the inmates. Some of these guys had been in prison for 22 years, 11 years, and they would get out. And then some had only been there 2 years. But when they got out, she would be very hard on them, you know. And we had to test them for drugs because they had to go out and work and then or find a job and come back. And they would walk through the gate, and I'd go, wow, they look happy. And she would go, that's because they've been getting high. That's why they look happy. Look at him. He's been getting high. And I'm like, why are you saying that? Maybe he's just happy. Maybe he got a job. And so they would come up there and sit, and she would talk to them. And they'd be filling out the paper. And she'd go, so where'd you go get high? And the guy would be all mad, like, who said I got high? I just went out and got a job. And then I would say, yeah, why'd you say that? And she would go, will you just leave me alone? I know what I'm doing. So she said, where'd you go to get high? And the guy got mad, and he went to his room, and I was like, wow, you know, maybe you need to exercise a little more kindness, you know, to these people. And she said, you know what, the problem with you, Pastor Sandy, well, I wasn't a pastor, I was just Sandy at the time. She said, your problem is this, you've never been an addict, have you? I went, no. She said, well, I've been an addict. Mm. And I know when people are faking and when people are being real. And if you follow me in what I'm telling you, I'll tell you. And because she said, you said something dumb yesterday. You was like, oh, Johnny's over there. He's sleeping all day. He must have really had a hard day of work yesterday. And she said, Johnny is high. He's coming down off something. That's why he's sleeping all day. He didn't work yesterday. He probably didn't even go to work. So he said, you need to understand, I've been an addict before, and I know when people are lying, okay? So she went in the room and got the guy up and told him, hey, get out of here, sleeping, come in here, we can drug test you. Mm-hmm. Drug testing, he tested positive for heroin. And I'm like, she knows. So if you get caught, they send you back, right? So she always knew, you understand? She knew when people were lying and when they were still doing drugs, right? I didn't know because I had not experienced that or been through that, okay? The problem with being a pastor is this. People come in and they get saved, and it's the same as this rehab center, right? Me and Pastor Ben, they don't realize that we weren't born pastors. We were born with the same sin addiction that you have, right? So as much as people are lying to us, Pastor Ben has no problem because he's got this prayer, anointing, prophecy thing going on. And if don't come to prayer if you don't want to hear what you're doing, right? If I'm still repenting, I don't go to prayer. You understand? That may just be between me and God, right? But you have to understand, we've been sinners, okay? I think Pastor Ben's problem was alcohol at one time.
Yeah.
So
prescription drugs,
you know? And that's not to mention the other sins. Now, my sin was probably lust and anger, right? So we know what it is to come in and to decide I'm going to enter a rehab program, which is the church. They come in like, I want to get better. And they give their life to Christ and their life begins. And we're happy for them. We don't think that the fight is over, though.
Right.
We know it's not over. We know that they're just beginning a road to sanctification,
amen,
which is hard, and we're always hoping they don't relapse.
Right.
Because there is a drug dealer outside the building at all times, right? Trying to sell sin to members who just started their rehab program. Okay? Now, I've had people lie to me, and I knew that they were in sin. But I would know because of spiritual wisdom that if the sun ain't shining, if the moon is dark, if the moon is not glowing, that means the sun's not shining on it. There's a problem with the sun.
Right.
So if the husband is treating the wife horrible, you're going to know that you're jacked up.
Yep.
I know you're jacked up because I see your moon and she's not shining.
Right.
And the only way she can shine is that you are growing and you are living for Christ, right? So I would know, but they would be like, yeah, you know, love her, you know, she's doing good. And I'm like, the Holy Spirit be like, he lying, right? So, but we don't like, we gonna put you on Front Street. We just gonna keep praying for you.
Right.
But we know, okay? Because you can't act like we've been addicted. We came into this,
right?
Both of us sin addicts,
right?
You understand?
Amen.
Well, I don't know what age you got saved.
13.
I got saved at 17. And that means we just went into a rehab. We're like, we want to know how to stop sinning.
Right.
And we heard Jesus is the answer.
Yeah.
Okay. And he is the answer. Okay. But what is the thing that a drug addict must understand about his addiction? Because they celebrate. Like, I have 10 years sobriety,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They celebrate. Why? What? But do, how, what are they celebrating? One day at a time.
Yeah.
They didn't get to 10 years. If they celebrate 10 years, they understand that it's been a fight to get to 10 years.
Yeah.
You understand? So, and me and Pastor Ben understand, if you've been a Christian for 10 years, we're celebrating your sobriety, but we still understand that an addict is always an addict no matter what, and he still has to make sure that he stays away from the addiction. You understand? So the guy was trying to explain to me that some people come into Christianity. If you come in for the rapture, you came into the rehab center for the wrong reason.
Say it.
Okay?
Say it.
You can stop doing sin. You can stop the addiction because you think there's a benefit for you at the end. And there is a benefit for you. But you're looking for a short-term solution when addiction is a long-term solution.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So sin, and I'm telling you, I'm just telling you what God is showing me this morning. It's like, sin is a lifetime addiction.
Yeah.
Like drugs is not a temporary addiction. You will, they say, some of them say, I will always be a drug addict. But right now, I'm sober, right?
Mm-hmm.
Christ has cleansed us from sin.
Yeah.
But guess what? We're still in this body.
Yeah.
I hate this body.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, it just, it doesn't want to do right.
The problem.
It don't want to talk right.
Right.
It want to eat what it wants to eat.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's your temple, but it's a good donut. Right? I pray over that donut. I'm praying over a jelly donut, and the Holy Spirit is laughing like, you really want me to bless that? Bless. That's a lot of sugar. You really want me to bless it? And so we don't know how to take care of the temple.
It's a battle.
It's a battle, right?
A battle.
But we're trying to become sober.
Yeah.
We're trying to walk in sanctification. We're trying to walk in holiness. You understand?
Amen.
And anybody, that's why people come here, and I always use Marcus as my go-to guy, because there was about 15 people that came to me and said, we got to get Marcus out of the church. All the time. I mean, I would just be like at home, like just, you know, watching TV. Somebody called me. We got to get Marcus out of the church. Like, who is this? I was like, what is wrong with Marcus? I'm like, well, we just got to keep praying for him.
Yeah.
I said, you got to realize we all came in this sinners.
Yeah.
We got to keep praying for him. Because sin is an addiction.
Yeah.
And we've got to keep praying for him and making sure that he's being fed the word of God and making sure he has the opportunity to fully come out of. Because you can be a drug addict, and after a year, everybody's celebrating your 2 years, and third year, you're back in.
Yep.
You're back in rehab.
Yep.
And that's how sin is. You understand? So I realized this. Can an addict have success? Can an addict have success? Yes. How can an addict have success? By realizing you're in a day-to-day battle.
Yes.
Can a sinner have success? Yes, the Lord told me this one. How can the sinner have success? By realizing you're in a day-to-day battle.
Yes.
Okay? And this is what the Lord wanted me to go over today. I'm going to grab my glasses. You don't have to kind of get it. So now we're going to get into some scripture, because the Lord really wants you to understand this is not a new problem.
Right.
You had a whole gang of people that came out of Egypt. addicted to sin. You understand? And he's trying to get them to the promised land, and they're addicted to sin. And God is trying to change them in the wilderness.
Right.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a wilderness journey. Except, oh, Lord, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I'm so sorry for everything that I've done in my life. Jesus, come into my life. You feel the Holy Spirit come in you. And you're like, oh, man, I never felt that before. And now you feel good. Okay. It feels almost like an out-of-body experience, but I got to slap you because you're not out of your body. It just feels that way, okay? We're still going to have some work to do, okay?
Amen.
So I want us first to go to Exodus chapter 17. And this is the first of many times as God is trying to relay this message. Huh. What? Did I say so? This is the first time that God is trying to relay this message to believers.
Yeah.
Okay? Now watch this. Are you in Exodus chapter 17?
Amen.
Watch this. Verse 1. It says, the whole community of Israelites set out from the desert of what?
Sin.
Now, that word sin in Hebrew actually means thorns. But thorns is the representation of Satan, right?
Right.
So same thing. They're setting out for their journey in the desert of sin. Mm-hmm. And traveling from this place to place, as the Lord commanded them, they came to Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled. And Moses, they grumbled against Moses. They said, why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. The Lord answered Moses, walk on ahead of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. And I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb and strike the rock, and the water will come out of the rock for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord with us or not?
Ooh, wow.
Okay. So here they are. They've come out of Egypt.
I got it.
They come out of Egypt. They've just started this journey. Okay. And I remember quitting things. I had a friend that he had to stop selling weed because he accepted Christ. He was broke. That was his only job. He was asking God, when you gonna supply?
Ooh.
Or do I need to go back to doing this? Basically, he was grumbling and mumbling. God's like, stand and trust. And so as he's complaining about this, he ends up getting his job at a supermarket down the street from where we live. And after a week, they loved him so much, they made him a supervisor.
What?
And I said, we just watch God work in your life, man. I thought after that, he'd live for the Lord forever, right? But he got used to fast money. So he'd take his check and buy drugs with that, and then so he can double his money. Ended up in prison, right? After almost getting shot to death. But understand this. He came out of sin because he really wanted the Lord. He was doing well, but then now we start complaining to the Lord because we're not getting everything that we need. But the Lord says, when you're in this position, don't complain and mumble and grind about all the things you don't have. Mm-hmm. Take some dedication to bow your knees and thank God for what you do have. And God will honor that and bless you and will bless you. And then now your life is being filled with God's blessings. You understand? But you have to not complain and trust God. He didn't know that because he was a young Christian. But as soon as we prayed about it, he got the job. The problem was that was not victory over addiction. That was we're still in the battle every day. Because now the same drug dealer comes back and says, man, you could double up your money now. You're making money. Nearly killed him, okay? So, the Lord wanted me to show you that because coming out is beautiful. Once you come out, now you've got to trust God. You're in the wilderness. Don't worry. He can strike a rock and bring water. You understand? Like Sister Sean said the other day, she said they needed gas, right? And she said they're driving down the road and a $20 bill flies across the window and they need gas. Right?
That's God.
You're like, was that money? She said, we need gas. Wait a minute. Stop the car. Was that money? God does things like that though, right? But I'm saying he will take care of you. Small victories is not a complete victory. You don't get a complete victory over addiction until rapture time or you die and get your other body and go to heaven.
Right.
You understand? There is no such thing as victory over addiction. Ask any addict. It's a day-to-day process, and I'm trying to overcome every day. You understand?
Amen.
If I get to 10 years, I've gotten through 10 years
one day
at a time. You understand? And that's the same with Christianity.
Amen.
Okay, now we got to read this because now God's going to show you how to have victory. You still in chapter 17?
Yes.
Verse 8. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose some of the men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. Where do you think that hill is?
Where Christ?
That's the same hill that Abraham took his son.
Yep.
That's the same hill that Christ got crucified on. This is the same hill. So he's on this hill. And it says, as long as Moses held up his hands, now I'm going to stop you there. And it says, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Now, if I do my arm like this, this is how you used to write a yod in ancient Hebrew. It's the whole arm. Okay, so when he says they translate yod, it's now its hand in modern, but in ancient Hebrew, it meant the whole arm. So Moses is standing on Calvary like this. And he says, hold your hands out, Moses, because as long as you hold your hands out, you're going to get victory. When Moses would put his hands down, his enemies would start winning. So what is God trying to tell us?
Cross.
The victory is in holding the cross up, right? Because if you don't hold up the cross and you put it down, there goes your victory.
Yeah.
So he's showing you a very important lesson because it says, as long as Moses held his arms up, okay, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his arms, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him and sat on it, and Aaron and Hur held his hands up or his arms up, one on one side and one on the other. So you got three people on the hill, just like it's going to be in the future. And they're holding up Moses' arms so that they can win through the victory of the cross.
Amen.
So that his hands remained steady till sunset. Joshua overcame the Amalekite army
with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of the Amalekites from under heaven. Now listen, that's Amalekites represented sin at it, as its peak, right? So he said, in the future, I'm going to wipe sin out completely. But for now, I want you to write this down and keep it as a memory. What's the memory? If you don't hold up your cross, if you put those arms down and you say, I don't need Jesus no more, you're going to lose the battle.
Yes.
So that is the first of many times that God is showing you, you can either fight this war the right way or you can fight this war the wrong way, but you are not victory over sin yet. You are not victory over addiction. You're going to have to keep Jesus in your life each and every day and fight this each and every day. Now, I want us to go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. No, it is now. It just wasn't on me. Let me, yep. There we are. You in Deuteronomy chapter 28? Listen, when we first started this ministry, I wanted people to be successful, okay? Success is finding out how things work and then doing it the right way, right? Because you do it the wrong way, you can have good intentions. But if you do it the wrong way, it ain't gonna work. You understand? So God has what he calls the law of blessing and cursing.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, in the Hebrew, it's called the law of blessing and cursing, this chapter. Why does he call it the law of blessing and cursing? Because it's set. You understand? This is set. It's like gravity. It's set. Okay? It is a law. Okay? You can secretly sin, but cursing is still going to come. You understand? Why? Because the sin of blessing and cursing happens when you defy the law. You understand? So God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have your own this and have your own that. And blessings are on your way as long as you're doing what? As long as you're living for God, they're on their way, right?
Yeah.
And God is like, it's like aiming at you, right? Remember when Tahira, when you did that message, that when the light shines, your job is to be where the light is.
Yeah.
You understand? Because it's aiming towards you and it's coming, right? Your job is to be there when it hits,
yeah,
so that you can receive the blessing. If you're not there when it comes, like you met Tyrone, you don't live there no more. And you know, it's like, okay, you weren't in position when I came, right? But as long as you're living right, it's headed towards you. And you can wake up each morning and say, Lord, I know your blessings are on their way.
Right,
I love your word. I love your righteousness. I'm living for you. That's all I'm doing.
Amen.
Not moving to the left nor the right. I'm staying on this course, right?
Yeah.
So you stay the course and the blessings are on their way.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm going to read it. It says here, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands, I will give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Now that word accompany, it is a word called shegsheg, which means prosperity, okay? And it means, and in the term that it's using, it's saying it's going to embrace you, okay? But it's not like, you know, you do a tap hug. You ain't seen somebody in a long time. It's like you, oh, it's a firm hug. You understand? It said prosperity is going to firmly grip you. The sheg sheg, okay? You want to know how to say it's prosperity in Hebrew? Sheg sheg, okay? It's going to grab you. It's going to embrace you. And it's not going to be a patty cake hug. It's going to be holding on to you. And it's going to be hard to shake.
Yeah.
You understand? So he says, this will accompany you if you walk in obedience. It says, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. The crops of your field, of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herd, the lambs of your flock, your basket, your knitting trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that your enemies, that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. So God is making this promise that if you walk with me in obedience, right? Don't turn left, don't turn right. Just stay on this path. Stay with Jesus. And I'm going to bless your life. Now, after that, he gives you, in the second half of this, the opposite of what he said. Now, here is the words that God says, if you decide you want to live in sin, okay? So everything that I just said he would bless, he said, will curse you. Cursings will come upon you. And it says they will accompany you, which is shed check. You will prosper in cursing.
Ooh.
You understand? It will grab you and embrace you, and you will prosper in it.
Ooh-wee.
If you want to sin. At the end of this, you know what he says? I've set before you today blessing and cursing. Choose ye life, right?
Right.
So now he puts it in the hand of each and every individual that lives upon the face of the earth.
Yeah.
You're going to get what you live.
Wow.
You understand? So I take Deuteronomy 28 and I said, okay, now look, I've been sober since 1993. You said you got saved in 1979. Yeah, I had a lot of relapse. But 1993, I said, Lord, because God told me, he's like, I was all jealous of my brother. I was like, my brother got everything, got a house, beautiful wife, kid. I'm like, you got a nice job. Look at me. I don't have nothing, Lord. Lord, like, you stop sinning, I will bless you. Your brother's not a Christian, but he sins less than you.
Ooh.
I was like, ouch. So I made a contract with God. Like, okay, I'm not going to sin. I ain't drinking nothing. I ain't taking a sip of nothing. I ain't smoking nothing. I ain't doing nothing, right? I ain't going nowhere where I ain't supposed to be. This is my agreement with God. Whole life changed. Okay? Whole life changed. Blessings begin to come. Blessings begin to come. Blessings begin to come. And I'm like, I could have did this years ago. Instead of going to jail and getting out of jail, doing this, getting in trouble, all of this stuff, I could have just like, I'm staying on this road and I'm just going to live a life of blessing and I'm going to bless others. I could have did that a long time ago. But in my addiction, every time I stepped out, there was a guy, hey buddy, I got what you need. And sometimes, no, I'm trying to live for Jesus. Sorry, I don't want it. And then I celebrate like I got victory. And guess what? Devil ain't, he don't give up. He didn't give up on Jesus.
He did not.
And so he went away for another opportune time.
Yeah.
And this is Jesus he's dealing with.
Yeah.
Who you think you are?
Hello.
He's like, all right, I'll be back. You celebrating. He like, I'll be back.
Uh-huh.
So then I would fall back into sin. But in 1993, I wanted to be sober for good. I wanted to feel what sobriety felt like. Look at that, man. I've been walking without drug addiction for years, right? Some people have that feeling, and it's beautiful, and they talk to you about it, right? And they say, yeah, but it's day to day. And they realize I'm still in a fight.
Amen.
So understand how this works, okay? Because life and death is in the power of who? Of the tongue. And who gets to choose? He said, choose ye today whom you will serve. Okay? Whom you will serve. Because addiction, see, there's so much stuff about this body. You know, the tongue can be addiction. Sometimes you're just talking and the Holy Spirit's like, you need to be quiet now. You know what I mean? You'd be like, no, I'm going to say what I got to say. Mm-hmm. You know, you're telling the Holy Spirit like, no, this is not the time. You know, I'm going to say what I got to say. And, you know, so that can be part of your addiction, too.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, the Holy Spirit's inside of you telling you, don't smoke that. Right. Don't do that. Because he knows that that addiction is only going to destroy you. So sometimes it may be the proper time to be quiet.
Yeah.
Then sometimes it's the proper time to speak up.
Yes.
But you pray and you ask the Holy Spirit, is this the proper time? And the Holy Spirit will tell you, yes, this is. This is perfect time. Go and then. But I'm saying, look, overcoming addiction is submitting to the Spirit that lives inside of you.
Yeah.
With that, I'm going to read this. Now watch as I read this, because
15 minutes.
That's beautiful. Watch as I read this, because I'm reading it from this Bible. I'm going to show you, because the English portion of this Bible right here, this is, but it's got the 1600 King James Version, right? You know when the NIV was printed? Like 1967 or something like that. Okay? So that's the year that they started printing NIVs. Okay? But this is 1600 something. 1611, I think, right? Now watch what it says here. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
There is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. Then it has something added after it. It's not added. It's there.
Right.
In 1600.
Right.
1960 something. They take out that portion.
Mm.
So you don't have to walk after the flesh. You know what I mean? You don't have to walk after the Spirit. You can walk after the flesh. They took that part out. Understand what the Scripture is saying. There is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus, who do what? Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What does it mean to walk after the Spirit? Holy Spirit, you're in charge. You get to tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit, you are in charge in this house.
Yeah.
When you speak, I obey. That's walking after the Spirit.
Yes.
Okay? Holy Spirit, say, don't drink that. You say, I'm not drinking it. I'm sorry, I don't drink. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me, but I don't drink. Why? Because the Holy Spirit just told me not to drink, right? Were you hearing from God? Yes. The Scripture says what? Those who are my sheep know my voice.
Right.
And I know my Lord's voice. And he told me don't drink. So I'm not drinking with you, right?
Yeah.
So we're not crazy. We hear from God.
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit's inside of us.
Yeah.
Obeying that voice and not letting your flesh overcome it keeps you in line with the light. Because remember, it's coming for you.
Right.
If it ain't there, like my light hit a while ago, I'm just basking in it, right? But it's coming, and you've got to be in position when it gets there. Okay? So the key to it is letting the Spirit guide your life. The Lord said, add this to that. God honors dedication.
Yeah, he does.
If you wake up and pray and read your scripture each morning, you think God don't notice?
Mm-hmm.
You think he's honoring that?
Yeah.
Because you do that? He knew exactly how many times Daniel prayed each day.
Yeah.
How did he know that if he's in heaven? And why would he bring it up? Because he knows Daniel's dedication to his prayer life. You understand? He knows Daniel's dedication to his studying of the word.
Yeah.
He knows this. You understand? And so he honors the way you live and the way you discipline yourself.
Yes.
And he blesses you in accordance. Sometimes it's like, let me throw a little extra on there, because the way her dedication is, the way his dedication is, because he honors us when we honor him.
Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
Now, this is one problem, and then I'm going to go on. I want to go to Ezekiel, then I'm going to go to Peter, and we're going to finish up. Let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31. Now watch this. Here it says, rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O Israel? What did God suggest that they get? A new heart and a new spirit. Because if your heart don't want to serve God, it don't matter.
Amen.
You understand? You've got to ask God for a new heart. You want a heart that wants to serve him. And that's what I lacked. I didn't have a heart to be obedient. I had a heart to be obedient as long as things were going good. But if things aren't going good, don't you know you still have to be obedient? So it's a matter of, give me a heart to want to serve you. Give me a heart that says no to sin. Give me a heart. Why? Because I want to be lined up for what you have for me.
Yeah.
Because getting out of line is the problem. You understand?
Amen. Amen.
Disobedience is the law. So you say, wow, you know what? I'm a secretly sin and nobody will know. It's a law. You can't secretly do it. It's like saying, I'm a secretly jump off this building and nobody's going to know. When they going to find out? Soon as you hit the ground. They're like, it still works. It don't matter if somebody watching you or not.
Amen.
You cursing yourself. Even if you say the pastor didn't see me or my friends don't know, It's still a law. Sin brings a curse and it chases after you and it catches up with you. So if you want to secretly jump off a building thinking that nobody knows that I jumped, everybody's going to find out sooner or later. You understand?
Amen.
That's how sin is.
That's it.
Okay, let's continue here. Ooh, Pastor Ben.
Yes, sir.
I'm
going
to go to John chapter 15. You guys can read this at some time. How much time I got, Pastor Ben?
You got about 10 minutes. Pastor.
Good. Oh, I got time then. Go to John chapter 15. God is good. Now, okay. They asked me the other day, Pastor, is it necessary that I go to church to be born again? You know what? I have a problem with that myself, because I love church and I love being around people who want to live godly, but I don't like playing church.
Right. Yeah.
And if all I got next door is a bunch of people playing church, I'd rather stay at home and read my Bible, grab my family, pull everybody together, let's pray, than to go be a part of a show.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
But I can't tell you it's not right to assemble, because the scripture tells you what?
We forsake
not the assembling of yourselves together. Like the group that we have down in one of the Carolinas. They started off with 10, then they had 20. They meet in a tavern. But they have a big screen and they'll put S4C on the screen on Sunday morning. They're up to 63 people.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
They didn't like the churches they were going to. They meet in a tavern with a big screen.
Yeah.
With S4C there, right?
Yeah.
But you know what they're not doing? They're not forsaking the assembly.
That's right.
There's no pastor there except for the guy on the screen. There's no deacons who mistreat them.
Uh-huh.
It's just a time for them to come together and gather. So you got to find at least 5 Christians that want to have Bible study and pray. You can't do this thing by yourself.
Well, there's 2 or 3 gathered together in my name.
Yeah. And then when we come together and we join together in prayer, the Bible says that prayer is answered with greatness. You understand? When two or three of you come together, it's power.
Yes.
Okay? So God meant for us to do this together. I would not try to be a solo Christian.
Amen.
It will not work. Mm-hmm. Okay, now watch this. Here we go. We're in John chapter 15. Jesus is speaking. It's all in red. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He who cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Okay. Every branch that's attached to who? Christ. If it doesn't produce fruit, what does the Father do? He cuts it off. That's a tough scripture. That means you can be like, okay, I'm a Christian, but I'm still fornicating, doing drugs, partying, and drinking, but I'm a Christian. God says you're producing no fruit. Stop all of that and get in your word and start growing. 5 years later, I'm a Christian. I fornicate, I go to clubs, I drink, I get high. After a while, God says, cut them off.
It's gonna get choppy, man.
Right? What do you do with a branch once you cut it off?
Burn it.
You put it in the fire. And he says this in this passage. Understand this. If you stay linked to Christ, listen, I'm begging you, like I'm begging my own children. If you want to be blessed, it's all in Jesus.
Yeah.
Outside of him, there is the world, and they don't love you, even though they shake your hand and they smile in your face. They don't love you.
Amen.
You understand? But if you want to truly be blessed, get in Christ and stay there and make a deal with God. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to live for you and stay in it and then watch things happen.
Yeah.
Okay?
5 minutes, Pastor. Five.
Chapter 15 talks about all of this. It says, you are already clean. He's saying, you're already a Christian because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Can you get blessed? Can you get some finances? Snoop Dogg, like, thank you, God, all the time. He got a lot of money.
Yep.
I'm talking about blessed. I'm talking about things coming with no headaches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm talking about leaving this earth and still having life.
Because
you can die a rich. Look at Jeffrey, the weather guy, Epstein. He gonna die a billionaire in hell. If he don't repent, right?
Right.
If he doesn't repent, he'll be like, on earth, I was a billionaire. I was so blessed. No, you were never blessed because you were never connected to life.
Right.
Because after you leave here, you have to go somewhere else. Only way to truly be blessed is to be connected to life. And then Christ says, be of good cheer. I've also overcome the world. So I can bless you here and bless you after.
Amen.
That's God.
Amen.
Okay, last for that message. And we go. 2 Peter chapter 3. And this is it. Because some people think God don't have no plans. He ain't never coming. I might as well just be me. That's the ultimate day. Here it goes. It says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days which we are living in, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. Who are the scoffers? Church people, I want you to know the Lord told me that nobody outside of the church is laughing at you because you say Jesus is coming. The people that are mocking you are people that are in the church, but they're sinning and they're tired of you telling them that they need to live right for God.
Wow.
So they're upset because you say I'm obedient. Right. And they say, oh, that's legalism. No, I just love God. I don't want to disappoint him. Oh, you already sealed, girl. Just sin as much. No, there's cursing in sin. God is trying to constantly tell us there's blessing in righteousness, right? Mm-hmm. But here we got these scoffers in the church and they're saying, oh, Jesus ain't coming. Okay. And it says, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Even since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of the water and by water. And it says, by these waters, all the world of that time was diluted and destroyed. They forget about that. Uh-huh. By the same word, the present heaven and earth are reserved for fire. He said a second destruction is coming, and it's coming by fire. It says, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Okay? So if it hasn't happened yet, it's the patience of God.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
It says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. What's the thief? I got to teach this, Pastor Ben. Okay. What's the thief? The thief in the night is the high priest. Who's the high priest?
Jesus.
Why does the thief in the night come through the temple?
To make sure
that the flame is continually burning in the temple. Yeah. Who's the temple?
You are.
The flame for Jesus should be continually burning in your temple, and you are commanded that it stays on fire.
Yeah.
If not, the thief in the night will come when unexpected and your flame is out and you messed up.
Yep.
Amen.
So it's a commandment for you to have discipline in Christ.
Yeah.
Why is God giving us all these rules? He's trying to save your life. He's trying to give you what he has for you. I'm going to stop reading the rest of this because I have to say this. I've had three visions of heaven. Two of them, I don't know if I was actually there or not. They were so real. I saw mansions, the most beautiful flowers I've ever seen. I saw mothers and daughters who looked the exact same age, yet the mother was 30 years older than the daughter. They looked the exact same age, and they were sitting in one of the levels of the 12 levels, and they were talking about what great life this thing was in heaven. And people were walking around doing life all around them. And when I woke up, God said, what did you think? People are waiting around in heaven for you to get here? Life is going on up here. You understand? So heaven is a real place. God's trying to give you real life. Satan used to live there. He ain't going back.
Right.
He's got an eternal home waiting for him. So the only thing he does is he hates you.
Right.
So every commercial on TV is to advertise to you to sin. Why? Because he knows with sin comes cursing. So all your music says sin. All your commercial says drink. You can't have a good time without drinking. Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
But I'm advertising to you sin. Why? Because in sin, you're going to miss out on everything that God has for you.
Amen.
And that's why you got to, when I'm watching, sometimes I'm watching TV and Drea go, relax, it's just a commercial. Because, you know, I'm sitting there like, Satan just selling stuff. I hate that he's selling this. Got this guy with a bottle of gin taking it to his mother, and he's a nice guy. Hey, everybody. And he goes, and they're like, hey, brother. And then he goes, and he's with his mom, and they pour a glass of gin together, and they say, Happy Mother's Day. And I'm like, oh, I hate Satan. That is such a good commercial. Makes you want to go buy a thing of gin and go to your mom's house.
Right.
Stupid.
Amen.
But he's selling to you the world and not God. Understand? Because he knows that it will destroy you. But he's coming. Look, None of us are over the addiction.
Amen.
And you will not get over the addiction until you leave here.
Yes.
So you better be like every addict in the world and say, I'm on a day-to-day recovery
yes.
from sin. I'm going to stay in my word so I can celebrate my sobriety and tell you how many years I've been in Christ walking in obedience. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful.